Well, blessed Sabbath to one and all, and welcome to our Friday evening church service. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And our God is very wonderful to each and every one of us to allow us to have life and also the ability to come together and to worship Him with one united voice in spirit and in truth. God indeed is so merciful to each one of us, more than we could ever deserve. Praise His holy name. Our opening song for tonight's service is entitled, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. And our dear sister Joan will start us out, and she wants me to take the second verse, and then she'll end it on the third.
If you'll all sing with me, okay, there's just wonderful peace and joy in singing the words to God. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at His command, and all the stars obey.
I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with His word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky.
There's not a plant or flower below, but makes Thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from Thy throne. Creatures that borrow life from Thee are subject to Thy care. There's not a place where we can flee, but God is present there.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, dearest sister. Well, it's time for opening prayer, and our dear sister Lucy will offer that for us.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. And thank you, Elder Bob, for granting me this privilege. Dear Heavenly Father, how privileged we are to be able to call You our Father, to share that privilege as Your Son Jesus did. Only for Him, it was a right, not a privilege. We are the privileged ones, and we must always remember that. I want to take for my prayer this day, Lord, the prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples when one of them asked Him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And He told them, pure and simple. But they were also admonished not to let their prayer devolve into a meaningless recitation or vain repetitions, as the heathen do, with words spilling out of their mouths without a thought as to their meaning. So I would like, in all humility, to share with you my interpretation of the Lord's Prayer, which begins, Our Father. And as I have already said, we give grateful thanks that we are privileged to call You our Father, signifying our greatest appreciation that You regard us as children of Yours. and then which art in heaven. And we do believe that your Son is at this very moment in the heavenly sanctuary preparing for us to join you there. Hallowed be thy name. We ask, dear Father, that your name be blessed by all, and may the number of your followers be increased daily by the spreading of your holy word. Thy kingdom come. May your kingdom spread throughout this earth, so that your word reaches every corner, and may we now and in the future have some part in this, dear Lord, through witnessing at every opportunity. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, may the world, that is us, receive your word and obey your will as sincerely and devotedly as do your angels in heaven. Please give us this day our daily bread. We come to you in humility, asking that you will fulfill all of our needs for this day, both those we are aware of and ask for regularly, like your protection, guidance and support wherever we are and whatever we are doing, as well as asking for the more mundane necessities of life, such as shelter, our daily food and companionship, which is so important to us and which in this selfish day and age, sadly, many of us are lacking. And forgive us our trespasses. Sometimes so many sins, Lord, even those we may not be aware of. For those sins we know we have committed, Lord, please have us bring them to you in all contrition, with the full intention of never committing them again, for which we request we really do need the guidance of your Holy Spirit. As we forgive those who trespass against us, Lord, I must say I am often not very aware of those who have sinned against me. Well, not most of the time anyway. Of course, my children are breaking your fifth commandment. But naturally, I forgive them. I may feel hurt, but I love them. I'm their mother. And there are friends who perhaps occasionally are unkind to me. I often think for no good reason, but it is easy to forgive them. But I am truly not aware of any major sins against me that need forgiving, and I am so blessed in that. And lead us not into temptation. Of course, you would not lead us into temptation, Father, but it is an area where I believe most of us need your help always. I need your help consciously and consistently to make me aware of temptation, of the temptations all around us. Please don't let us drift into temptation and then become aware too late that we have already succumbed. But deliver us from evil. Of course you will do that, Lord, if we are truly knowledgeable about what evil is, breaking your commandments, and if we ask for your protection, support and guidance daily, which I'm sure we all need. But we know that Satan is ever tempting us with all his wily ways, and that is where we need your protective arms around us. For thine is the kingdom. As I said at the beginning of this prayer, Lord, we do believe that thine is the kingdom, although I think many of us, especially me, have little concept of its true meaning. But that lack of complete understanding in no way destroys our faith. The power and the glory. We absolutely believe, Father, that you are omnipotent, all-powerful in so many ways. And how do we know this? By reading and believing your word. There are so many examples of your omnipotence, especially in the Old Testament. Forever and ever. Now there is a truth we believe in but find, for my part anyway, extremely difficult to comprehend. Although I have no way of grasping the concept of eternity, I firmly believe that if I am blessed to die in the state of grace, I will share heaven with you for eternity. These heartfelt words of mine Father express my own understanding of the prayer given to us by your Son. And I pray also, Lord, that my interpretation is acceptable to you, is worthy, and you will accept this and my humble entreaties in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. We're continuing in our study book of Patriarchs and Prophets, chapter 26, From the Red Sea to Sinai. And we left off about halfway down on page 295, and the paragraph will start out, begins with, in the gathering of the manna. And we left off last time understanding some of the spiritual insights regarding manna, how it came down from heaven, miraculously providing for the daily necessities of the children of Israel. And its taste was sweet in the mouth. And the people were to gather daily a particular amount called an omer for every person. And that was just a little less than a gallon. And that was to last all day. And they weren't to leave it until the morning was past and the sun was risen up, because the heat of the sun would melt the manna and it would no longer be able to be gathered. They were also not to keep any of it overnight. And if they did, it spoiled and bred worms. And so we understood the spiritual insights to that, at least some of the spiritual insights, were pertaining to the truth. Were to spend time in God's Word in the beginning of our day. And God's Word will be sweet to us. It will provide our spiritual life with all the necessary requirements to be healthy and functioning that day. But we can't live tomorrow on what we gather today in God's Word. We have to have a fresh supply. So that's some of the spiritual insights that we learned last time, and now we pick it up at this paragraph. In the gathering of the manna, it was found that some obtained more and some less than the stipulated amount. But when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Now that's quite interesting. Those that gathered more than an omer, by the time they got back and measured it, they had just the right amount for that day's supply. And those that gathered less than an omer out in the field, when they came in and measured it, it was exactly what they needed. Everybody was on an equality with God. No one was more important than the next. no one was less important than another. Everyone to God was supplied with just the right amount necessary to sustain their health for that day. Now, a spiritual application is, if you spend time in God's Word, God will make sure that you gather just the right amount of truth necessary for that day's existence. He won't give you less than what you need, and He won't give you more than what you need. It will be just the right amount. And that is for everyone. That is a promise that includes every individual. No matter how intellectually gifted you are or how intellectually challenged you are, it doesn't matter. If you spend time in God's Word, you will be blessed with just the right amount of truth that you need for that day. Praise God indeed, dear ones. He cares for each one of us. He knows exactly how much we can understand. He knows how enlarged our minds are. And He tailors the amount of truth that we gain from spending time with Him to our needs. And everyone will be supplied. None will be lacking. Everyone will be blessed with what they need. And praise God indeed. Are there any thoughts or comments? Please go right ahead.
I was thinking about the manna and the fact that it couldn't be saved. Of course, they didn't have refrigeration in those days, but I wondered if it was kind of a living food, maybe like something from the tree of life, which restored all of the cells necessary to keep the body in a good, healthy state. Just a thought.
What a thought. I never considered that possibility. Boy, that's something we're going to have to study on. Well, thank you for that.
I was also saying, I was thinking the same thing, the manna, but it, like, as soon as you read the Word of God and you get a blessing from it, it really tastes like, it tastes like, you know, like honey. It's so good that you don't want to stop. So, amen.
Amen. And I would also share a comment. The same way God that commanded the Israelites to store the right amount on a manna for each morning was sort of like the same way what the animals do. You see, when winter comes and that the animals prepare for that condition, before winter comes, they store all the food they can find and be able to hide in a safe place, like in a tree, underground, or even in some parts of the city or town, or even a village. It's even in the most unexpected place to keep storage. It's a food supply, even for an animal. But anyway, when they store their food when it's hibernation time, they can be able to eat up in time before winter arrives. If they aren't prepared, then there won't be any food and they'll starve. Because God gave them in these towns, now they can be able to be prepared and for the next time they're hungry, and they won't even have to look for it because it's already stored in their special spot where they hold their food. With that, they just go hungry. It's sort of the same command with the children of Israel. So if they didn't store the manna properly, then they wouldn't have anything to eat. Well, if they would, they would just be eating either dirt or sand, which is pretty disgusting, I gotta say. that's all I want to share.
Well, thank you for your comments. So when the people gathered the manna, when they went out there and gathered with their own two hands the amount of manna, it was found that some came in with more than what God said to gather, and some came in with less. But when they meet, it was all brought to the same level. So those that had obtained more found that they had just the right amount, and those that had obtained little found that they also had just the right amount. Continuing. An explanation of this scripture, as well as a practical lesson from it, is given by the Apostle Paul in his second epistle to the Corinthians. He says, "I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack." 2 Corinthians 8:13-15. So, in the issue of truth, God doesn't play favorites. To every individual is meted out exactly the amount of truth that they need for each day. But God isn't going to miraculously place it in your mind without the effort on your part to obtain it. Just as God didn't allow the manna to appear within the homes or the tents of the children of Israel, they had to individually go out and obtain it themselves. So it's the same with God's truth. We have to take the time to individually gather the truth, looking to God to open our understanding as we dig into his word of inspiration. And he will indeed grant us exactly what we need for that day. Continuing. On the sixth day, the people gathered 2 omers for every person. So perhaps a little more than 1.5 gallons of manna. The rulers hastened to acquaint Moses with what had been done. His answer was, "This is that which the Lord had said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that," or boil that, "ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning." They did so, and found that it remained unchanged. Now, this was before the children of Israel arrived at Mount Sinai, where God wrote out his 10 commandments on tables of stone. But we see here that the Lord commanded the people to gather twice as much on the day before the Sabbath, and he would miraculously preserve that amount over the Sabbath. The other 6 days of the week, it would breed worms and spoil if they tried to keep it overnight. But here, on the Sabbath, God preserved it. In other words, he didn't want the people to go out and perform the regular weekly labor on the Sabbath, but they were to rest on that day. They were to keep it holy unto the Lord. And in doing so, he would miraculously preserve what they had gathered the day before so that they could be benefited by it over the Sabbath. So here we have the Sabbath being instituted among the children of Israel before God gave his Ten Commandment law written in stone. So then the Sabbath was already in existence before Mount Sinai. As that's true, when was the Sabbath instituted? All the way back at the creation of the world. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Genesis 2, 2, and 3. So the Sabbath was already in existence at creation. It was already in existence at the fall of Adam and Eve. It was already in existence before the flood, after the flood. It had not changed because sin came in. It was still the same seventh-day Sabbath of God. All that God did was write down his commandments in stone so that the children of Israel could have them written down, but they were already in existence before that time. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones? Please feel free.
It's such a blessing that you can use the Old Testament before the event of the giving of the Ten Commandments by God verbally, Mount Sinai, a proof of every single one of them shown to be in existence before that event. It's very helpful when witnessing to Christians. And of course, non-Christians as well.
Amen, dear brother. And you can also understand that the Old Testament complements the New Testament. It's like the foundation of the New Testament. And if you believe that the Old Testament is to be done away with because now we're living in the New Testament, then you're basically throwing away your foundation for the new. And that means you're not going to clearly understand what the New Testament is all about or the teachings of the New Testament. You're going to be liable to move to the left or to the right of the straight path of truth, because you don't have the foundation to rest on. You don't have the guidepost to point you in the right direction. I've even heard of preachers saying that the Old Testament was just for the Jews, that the New Testament is for everyone. And because they're not Jewish in origin, because they're Christian, then they do away with the Old Testament, believing that it was only for the benefit of the Israelites, but not for any other group of people. But it was only by the Old Testament writings that Christ was able to resist the devil in the wilderness of temptation and throughout his entire life. So it is all of God's word that we will have, because it is God's word. We need both the Old and the New Testament in order to rightly understand God's word. And praise God for preserving and for giving us his inspired word today. So freely available, but it wasn't always freely available. Individuals risked their lives in order to obtain just a portion of God's word. They had to sew it in their coats to keep it hidden as they traveled. They had to translate it behind closed doors in secret, lest the authorities come and throw them in prison and put them to death, because there was a law against owning, let alone translating, a Bible. So through the miracle of God's grace, we have the Bible so freely available. But yet individuals try to limit God's word to just half a Bible, because they believe that the Old Testament doesn't have any importance for us today. But dear ones, it's part of the living manna. It is Jesus Christ placed in words. And in partaking of God's word, you are partaking of Christ in you. Just as the children of Israel ate the manna and it became part of them, so, dear ones, we are to subsist on Christ, the truth, and allow him to be part of our lives. So on the sixth day, or the preparation day before the Sabbath was to come, God told the people that they were to gather twice as much as they did all the rest of the days of the week, and that they were to bake and to boil, in other words, to prepare their food on the preparation day, so that they wouldn't have to prepare anything on the Sabbath. It would already be baked. It would already be boiled. It would already be prepared on the Sabbath. And that way, they wouldn't have to spend the time in preparing the food on the Sabbath, but could instead devote that time in worshiping God, in dwelling upon his goodness, in digging in to his words of life. Has it changed today, dear ones? Are we still to prepare food for the Sabbath on Friday, the preparation day, so that we don't have to prepare food on the Sabbath day, but we can devote that extra time in worshiping God, spending time with him, fellowshipping with others of like faith? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is still a Sabbath today, and it is the very same seventh day of the week, which we know to be Saturday. That means the day before Saturday, or Friday, is the preparation day. whatever we're going to eat on Saturday is to be prepared on Friday. Whatever is going to be baked, whatever is going to be boiled, whatever is going to be prepared is to be done on Friday, so that when the Sabbath comes, we can devote more time in keeping that day holy unto the Lord. And God will miraculously provide us with just the right amount of truth to allow our spiritual life to thrive on the Sabbath. Now notice it didn't say that the children of Israel were to eat twice as much of the manna on Friday so that they would fast on the Sabbath. They were still to eat the manna on Sabbath, but it was gathered a day before. So this shows us that not a single day was to go by without each individual subsisting on the manna. And as we know that the manna represents Christ, and Christ is the truth, so then not a single day of the week is to go by without you subsisting on Christ. It's important, dear ones, to recognize that as your body needs physical food in order to function properly, so then you need spiritual food each day in order for your spiritual life to function properly. And if you don't obtain that spiritual manna, if you fast, in other words, your body is gradually going to get weaker and weaker. Your spiritual life is going to begin to waste away because it doesn't have the nutrition to remain healthy. There are some individuals that have gone a month without spending personal time in God's Word. What has happened to their spiritual life in that month's time? I dare say it's almost dead. About 40 days is all you can fast before your body gives up. If you're one of those individuals, and perhaps you've gone longer than 30 or 40 days without spending time in God's Word, then your spiritual life is on the brink of death, or it has already died. But even then, there's still hope that it can be revived by going to the mighty healer, Jesus Christ. He can revive your spiritual life. He's the miracle-working God. So it's still not too late. Spend time eating the manna that you have personally gathered from God's Word, and allow your spiritual life to come back, regain, So the children of Israel were instructed by God to gather twice as much manna on Friday, and then God would miraculously preserve that extra amount of manna over Friday night so that it would not spoil, but could be eaten over the Sabbath. And God told them that they would not find any manna out in the field to gather on the Sabbath. They were to already have it in their possession beforehand. Continuing. God requires that his holy day be as sacredly observed now as in the time of Israel. The command given to the Hebrews should be regarded by all Christians as an injunction from Jehovah to them. The day before the Sabbath should be made a day of preparation, that everything may be in readiness for its sacred hours. In no case should our own business be allowed to encroach upon holy time. God has directed that the sick and suffering be cared for. The labor required to make them comfortable is a work of mercy and no violation of the Sabbath. But all unnecessary work should be avoided. So here, the difference between the 24 hours of Saturday, the Sabbath, versus the 24 hours on any other day of the week. The Sabbath is holy. No business should encroach on even a minute of its 24-hour sacredness. The edges of the Sabbath. If we know that sundown Friday night is going to occur, say, at 5 o'clock, then by 4:45, we need to make sure that everything dealing with worldly business or dealing with household chores or dealing with anything else is all taken care of so that we do not encroach any on the Sabbath. That means if we got so busy preparing for the Sabbath and now it's 4:45 and sundown's at 5 p.m. If we see that we forgot to do something or overlooked some chore, it would be best to leave it until after the Sabbath is over than it would be to try and hurry up and do it and then risk breaking the Sabbath. If you encroach 1 minute into the Sabbath, you've broken it. That means you could keep 23 hours and 59 minutes holy unto God, but because you broke that 1 minute, you broke the sacredness of the Sabbath. So whether it's at the beginning of the Sabbath or at the ending of the Sabbath, we need to make sure that we allow God's Sabbath to be spent as sacred time with God. So all unnecessary work should be avoided. Continuing. Many carelessly put off till the beginning of the Sabbath little things that might have been done on the day of preparation. This should not be. Work that is neglected until the beginning of the Sabbath should remain undone until it is past. This course might help the memory of these thoughtless ones and make them careful to do their own work on the 6 working days. And that's an important point to recognize. God has given each one of us 6 days in which to do all our work. But the 7th day is God's day. So if you see that there's something that has not yet gotten done, and it's close to the Sabbath beginning, recognize that it's you that wants to get it done, not God wanting you to get it done. You have 6 days to get it done. God has one special day that He's asked you to spend on His terms, not your terms, but to spend it as a holy day, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, not even thinking your own thoughts, but to spend it as holy time with God. And God will bless you. He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough for you to receive it, because you have spent His day on His terms, not your own terms.
Hello, everyone. Blessed Sabbath. Okay, I wanted to share a little bit of something. Verse concerning the Old and the New Testament. Growing up, I was always taught that these two are two witnesses, and you need the both. The Old Testament and the New Testament, they go hand in hand. And a lot of modern day teachings, you know, modern day religion concerning, you know, under, you know, the umbrella that the world has for Christianity, they do want to do away with the Old Testament. But the thing is that the Old Testament is, well, okay, how do I say this? As a Christian, to get back to grace, humanity must connect with divinity in order to be able to overcome a lot of our flaws, a lot of the things that we do. The Old Testament is a lot of the things that happened there, all of those Bible stories, all of those things. They share what happens. They show the character of men. But then the New Testament shares the spiritual side. It's as in, like in the book, The Cross and the Shadow, type versus anti-type. They go together. They go hand in hand. And you cannot have one without the other. You need both of them. I would give an example. An example of this. In the Old Testament, talking about the sanctuary, the lamb was slain. The lamb took the sin of man. The husband man will whisper the sins of his family to the lamb. And the lamb was sacrificed. You know, in that whole ceremonial way of doing things. But in the New Testament, the lamb, which is Christ, took on the sins of man. And he too died for our life. Because the lamb in the Old Testament mentioned the sanctuary, represented Christ. But then Christ came and he died. So in this way, you see where type meets anti-type. You see where, how the discernment of, it's like it is edification of what was of old, but in fullness
the main reason why so many churches wants to get rid of the Old Testament is because the Old Testament contains actual little descriptive of the Ten Commandments. Each commandment is mentioned in there. And just like Lucifer tried to do away with it in heaven, he uses a lot of these fallen churches to try to do away with it on earth. But he cannot do so because it was written by the hands of God. So that is just what I wanted to share.
Amen. And thank you, sister. And that is very true. The old brings to life the new. And if you think about it, the disciples of Christ, including Christ himself and all the apostles, they didn't have the New Testament to go by. All they had was the old. And it was based on the truths taught in the Old Testament that they were able to write their instruction on gospel principles that made up the New Testament. So without the old, the disciples and the apostles would have no understanding of the gospel principles of truth as it is in Jesus Christ. It's the same today. The old brings to life the New Testament. The teachings of the New Testament are found in the Old Testament. Both the old and the new together make a complete Word of God. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's found in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. We're justified by faith. That's found in the Old Testament, even though the New Testament speaks a lot about it. God will write his law in our hearts and our minds. That's found in the Old Testament, even though that's that's the basis of the New Testament. So if we try to do away with the Old Testament, believing that all we need is the New, then we're going to be misled into wrong pathways, yet we're going to believe that this is the pathway we need to follow. And we're going to find ourselves walking down the broad road that leads to destruction, and yet all the time thinking we're on our way to heaven. So God's complete word of truth, the Old and the New Testament, is our guide through all the stormy winds of false doctrine that are blowing around right at this moment and will only continue to get worse. And when someone comes to us with a particular doctrine, claiming that it's truth, that it's light from God, we must take God's inspired word, the Old and the New Testament, and compare the doctrine to see if it agrees with God's word or not. If it agrees, then it's truth. If it doesn't agree, then there's no light in it. Isaiah 8:20. So, God brought forth the teaching of the Sabbath at creation. It continued after the fall of Adam and Eve. It continued before the flood and after the flood. And it continued with the children of Israel before Mount Sinai. Before God wrote his law on tables of stone, they were already keeping the Sabbath. So when God in the fifth command, or in the fourth commandment said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, it was already in existence, or there would have been nothing to remember. May we remember to keep God's Sabbath holy, guarding the edges of the Sabbath, making sure that everything is prepared for our time spent with the Lord on the Sabbath. And if there's something that did not get done, then let it wait until after the Sabbath is passed. And then do it on our own time. But let us spend every single second of God's Sabbath day as His day. Not thinking our own thoughts, not speaking our own words, not doing our own desires, but instead, amen, giving glory to Him, honoring Him for giving us rest, and praise His holy name for opening our eyes to understand His truth. Well, dear ones, I think we'll go ahead and stop at this point. And we'll pick it up next time at the paragraph, every week during their long sojourn in the wilderness. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, any testimonies or songs that you'd like to sing? Please feel free.
Thank you, bro. I wanted to share with you something that happened this week regarding my father. My father lives in Kalgoorlie. He's 600 kilometers away, and he travels to Perth, which is the city of Western Australia, regularly. And I've always said to him when he comes, when I find out what time he traveled, he always travels at night, late at night. And I just say, well, what a miracle you're here, Dad. And he would look and, you know, that's, yeah, son, you know, like, don't know what's the matter with you. Or, you know, he's not a believer, but he accepts that, yeah, he's glad he's there. And, yeah, there's nothing for me to travel late at night. Because it's terrible hours that he travels. And I know that he doesn't sleep a lot during the day. And he has insomnia. And this week I got a text from my sister, and I've been told that he rolled his car. And it was related to him falling asleep at the wheel, and then he's woken up on the wrong side of the road, and of course his natural instinct was, oh, I shouldn't be on the right side of the road, so he quickly swerves his car, and it's reported that he spun twice unless he somersaulted in the air as well. And when I heard that, I was amazed that he was still alive, because he was traveling at 100 kilometers an hour, and he just said, I'd like you to come, James. And I said, wouldn't you prefer the ambulance to take you to the place to get the proper scans, Dad? It'll be a lot quicker than me getting there, because I'm about 3 hours and a half away. But he insisted, because he had some private things to do in Kalgoorlie. So, again, he wasn't too interested in getting what the nurse and the doctor was concerned about. And he's got through it. And I just, every time I see him, I say, you're looking at a walking miracle. Praise the Lord. I mean, he almost didn't even look like he was in an accident until they put a sling in his arm. And what upset me is his attitude. He's still thinking of driving, but he said he might give it up driving during nighttime hours, but he'll still go on daylight hours. But he was thinking of still driving while he's in the state that he is, because he's got one arm and he's back at work. And I'm thinking, oh no. So I'm going to keep him in prayer. He's a part-time taxi driver. But what top of story is when I saw his car. Of course I wanted to take pictures, but exactly where he was sitting, the roof was left intact and punched up. So it didn't affect his head, but if there was a passenger, they probably would have been either a large headache or dead. And it was just amazing. And all I could think of, there were angels there, particularly making sure when he tumbled over, his head wasn't crushed. And he ended up on his wheels when he flipped, after two times, at least two times. So, well, just, you know, I tell my family, I say, I'm so glad I'm talking to you, not about his funeral, because I don't think he's ready. He's not a Christian, but he's happy to talk now and again. And it's fascinating when you get time to spend with people you wouldn't normally spend under those circumstances, what comes out, because they were expecting to die. So, hallelujah, praise God.
Amen, brother. Praise God indeed. There's been individuals that have suffered death from accidents less severe than what your father experienced. So indeed, God was protecting him, even though he may not admit it or recognize it at this point. But the Lord had mercy on him, and angels indeed protected him. So we will add him to our prayers, especially to allow the thought of God protecting him in that accident. And that will lead to other thoughts, that there is indeed a God, which will lead to other thoughts. What must I do to be saved? So, indeed, we'll keep him in prayers.
Hello again. Blessed Sabbath. Praise God, dear Brother James. Wow. I mean, really, praise God. I want to share a psalm, and it's Psalms 19.
Hi, everyone. Happy Sabbath. This is Brother Sean. I'm going to sing the first part of the song, because Keisha said she doesn't know it. So, and it starts out, it's Psalms 19, actually. Brother Dad knows this song too. So,
Mommy says hi.
Happy Sabbath, Mama. Alright, it starts out. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as strong men to run our race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of the earth. and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Psalms 19:1-6.
That was a first. Amen. I've never heard that before. Well, my version, it actually starts at 7. And the chorus is verse 10. The love of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Lord, you be desired, yea, then love, yet then match my God. Sweeter also than honey, honey, and the honeycomb, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord abide, rejoicing in the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlighten the eyes. More to be desired than gold, yet I much by gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb, and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, endureth forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, in righteousness altogether. More to be thee, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb, and the honeycomb. Numbers 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. More to be desired than gain and gold, yet I much by gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb, and the honeycomb. More to be desired than gain and gold, yet I much by gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb, and the honeycomb. Amen, amen, amen.
I knew that song in a different way. Sort of the exact same way as Sister Keisha sang it, but not pausing at different parts of the song where it mentions the honeycomb. So, okay, Mom, I will sing it. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The statutes of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is I served and warned, is I served and warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
Amen. Okay. I want to sing a song, a hymn. It is Family of God. It goes, I'm so glad I'm a part of the Family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, drawn years with Jesus as we travel this far. For I'm a part of the family of God. You will notice me say, brother and sister around here, it's because we are family, and this also near. When our hearts are headed, we all cheer the tears, and I rejoice in each victory, in this one so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined here with Jesus as we travel this far. For I'm a part of the family of God. From the door of the orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags and to riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined ears with Jesus as we travel this far. For I'm a part of the family. the family of God. God bless y'all. Amen.
I'd like to share a scripture song into it was one of my favorites, but I haven't sung it in ages. It's called "The Best Friend to Have Is Jesus." Oh, the best friend to have is Jesus. When the cares of life upon you roll, He will heal the wounded heart. He will strengthen grace and heart. Oh, the best friend to have is Jesus. The best friend to have is Jesus. The best friend to have is Jesus. He will help you when you call. He will hear you when you call. Oh, the best friend to have is Jesus. What a friend I found in Jesus. Peace and comfort to my soul He brings. In His mighty arm, I will fear no ill, no harm. Oh, the best friend to have is Jesus. The best friend to have is Jesus. The best friend to have is Jesus. He will help you when you fall. He will hear you when you call. Oh, the best friend to have is Jesus. Though I pass through the night of sorrow and the chilly waves of Jordan roll, never need I shrink nor fear, for my Savior is so near. Oh, the best friend to have is Jesus. The best friend to have is Jesus. The best friend to have is Jesus. He will help you when you fall. He will hear you when you call. Oh, the best friend to have is Jesus. When at last to our home we gather, with the loved ones who have gone before. When at last to our home we gather, with the loved ones who have gone before. We will sing upon the shore, praising Him forevermore. Oh, the best friend to have is Jesus. The best friend to have is Jesus. The best friend to have is Jesus. He will help you when you fall. He will hear you when you call. Oh, the best friend to have is Jesus.
There's two other songs that we'd like to sing for you today, or tonight, excuse me. One is Psalms 77:13, and it goes like this. I don't know, Keisha, if you played this one or not. It goes like this. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Psalm 77:13. And the other is a duet along with my wife called Abide With Me. It starts out. Abide with me as falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O
memories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. Oh, thou who changes not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. But thy grace there for the tempest high, who like thyself my guidance they can be. Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no end. Tis no bitterness. Where is this thing? Where great thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me.
There was a sister that requested a song, and I could sing. Is that okay? It's Psalm 61, 1, 2, and 3. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, leaving to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemies. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. Psalm 61, 1, 2, and 3. And a strong tower from the enemies. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me into the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. Good night, everybody. God bless.
This is a song probably everybody knows, but I did learn it in Spanish because we went to Mexico to take some food and clothing to the people there that needed it. So I learned it in Spanish too, but it goes, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so, 'cause Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And then in Spanish, dulce nombre es Cristo para mí, siempre vivirá, siempre me amará, por eso le bendigo tanto así. Pues dulce nombre es Cristo para mí. Praise the Lord.
Grandma Jo, that was so beautiful. Oh my goodness. Oh, I love your voice. Ah, my heart. That was beautiful.
Amen.
Amen, Grandma Jo. You have to sing in Spanish more often.
Yes, yes indeed. To hear your voice, my dear grandma, is pretty much reminds me of an angel's voice. So thank you very much. Okay, the name of the song that I'm gonna sing, and I know my dad doesn't have this on the website, is Are You Washed in the Blood? I mentioned before, I'll try not to sing this in a country accent, because I've heard this song in a country song before. So I will try. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graces? Or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen, and thank you for all those wonderful hymns and songs. It's truly a delight and an edifying influence to hear them and to follow along with the words, at least in the songs I know. So thank you so much. And announcement to those that are listening on the phone, not tomorrow, but the following Sabbath, the very last Sabbath of this year, 2015, we'll be having communion service. So I'll make another announcement beforehand, but just to let you know now, come prepared for next Sabbath to have a foot washing and partaking of the bread and the grape juice in communion. Dear ones, I'd like to ask you to please bow your heads and your knees for closing prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being here with us. Thank you so much for thy merciful kindness and tender love. And thank you for allowing your law to be written down, to be a guide of our lives. And please indeed, indelibly write it in our heart and mind, that it may be the foundation of our actions, our thoughts, our words and deeds. And that we may allow Christ to take the throne of our will, to delight to do thy will, because you are our God. Pray that you'll be with us now as we part. And we pray, Father, that you'll be with father of Brother James. We praise thy holy name for miraculously delivering him from serious injury and even death in the accident that he experienced on Wednesday, or actually Thursday morning his time. I pray, dear Father, that you will plant a thought in his head as to it being a miracle that he only walked away with just a slight injury to his arm. It could have been so much more worse. And please let that thought lead to understanding that there was a miraculous preserving of his life, and thus there is a miracle working God watching out for him. And let him want to know more and give the words of wisdom to Brother James to share with his dad and to encourage him and to lead and guide him to Jesus Christ. And thank you so much for doing so. Please grant us all a good and restful night's sleep. Let our thoughts be of thee as we fall asleep, and as we wake, let them still be on thee. And we thank you, dear Father, for allowing us to know the truth as it is in Jesus. Increase our understanding to know more. Give us the grace and the strength to follow and to obey and to show our love for you in willing service and devotion. Thank you so much for being our God. And be with us now as we part, just for a short time, is my prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I just wanted to share one more thing. Today when I went into work, I learned that a co-worker, she just lost her husband yesterday. He was very sick and ill. I'm not sure what it was he was battling. But in coming into work, another coworker was telling me how the employees had, you know, purchased her card and, not, you know, to sign, for everyone to sign. So, please keep her in prayer. Her name is Miss Deb. She's so sweet. So, so sweet. Just, you know, keep her in prayer, okay?
We will definitely do so, dear sister. I've already put Beth and the family on the prayer list. So thank you for bringing it to our attention. And well, dear ones, may God bless. Continue to look up to him from where your strength comes from. And indeed, be happy in the Lord. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. The joy of the Lord is your strength. 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 Nehemiah 8, verse 10. So may God bless you.
I know that song too. I know a little bit different. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 He gives me life and water and I thirst no more. He gives me life and water and I thirst no more. He gives me love and water and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength.